May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O God, my rock and my redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
During a rainy day in the warmer months of summer, we experienced loss of electricity in our neighborhood. This is not a rare occurrence. Of course, this loss did not happen during the day when we could easily find candles and matches or even flashlight so we could be prepared for the night. Oh, no, no, no. The outage occurred when it was dark, and we stumbled through the house searching for anything that would help us see in the dark. Being of a certain age, that is, way old, it did not occur to me until I bumped into various objects in the house that there's a light on my phone. This light, along with the flashlights I finally found and the new batteries I put in them, and the candles brightened up the dark, allowing us to find our way around the house with little difficulty. I'm sure over the years, many of you have had the same experiences. When the electricity goes out, stumbling and bumbling along until you find what you need to be able to see in the dark, hoping that you don't trip and fall, that you don't break something or hurt yourself. Even inside your home, darkness can be very scary. Recently, I read a passage written by Benedictine sister Joan Chittister about the effects of literal darkness. She writes, "Psychologists tell us that one of the most difficult conditions a person can be forced to bear is light deprivation." She goes on to describe how enforced darkness is used by the military to break down a person to make them more pliable and less resistant to directions. She notes, "In the end, the dimness undermines the average person's self-confidence, affects their vision, leaves them totally vulnerable to the environment and out of touch with the people around them. In my words, a broken and complete wreck." Often figurative darkness feels the same way. We may feel vulnerable, overwhelmed, or anxious. Stealing from Jared's past sermon, we may be feeling this way as we may be suffering under debilitating debt, struggling with depression or addiction, reeling with grief, estranged or lonely, or are afraid and feel loss. And if our personal distress is not enough, we are inundated with news of dreadful events in our cities, state, country, and the world. During the year, we've seen children in cages at the U.S.-Mexico border, the impeachment of a president, mass shootings, an opioid epidemic, and more. Yes, for many of us, there is a darkness that appears to be swallowing us up. And that may have been true for the followers of Jesus when John's gospel was written. Many scholars have suggested that the Jews who believed in Jesus and to whom this gospel is written were tossed out of their synagogues for not being sufficiently Jewish. Some scholars theorize that the negative connotation of the Jews in John's gospel are based on excommunication of the Johannine community of believers by the traditional Jewish synagogues. John's gospel, in part, assures these followers that they are truly Jewish. Yet I imagine a sense of darkness enveloped them. It's hard to have faith when we are slogging around in a quagmire, and yet we are promised in John's gospel, no, I even say guaranteed, that the true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world, that Jesus Christ, that is Jesus Christ incarnate. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. As author Richard Roy wrote, all the saints and mystics assure us that the darkness will never have the last word. And I believe it. I believe that the darkness will never have the last word. The light which is Christ is all around us. I see it in the generosity of people who responded quickly to those left homeless after the fire in the Drake, where many of the marginalized in society live with the bare minimum. I see it in our work here at St. John's, in our partnership with Hallie Q. Brown, Project Home and the YWCA, feeding, clothing, and building relationships with those on the margins. I see it in the youth who are willing to stand up against climate change and want to help those experiencing food insecurity and homelessness. I recently read an article on the opinion exchange in the Star Tribune about an organization called Better Angel, which hold meetings with those on both sides of the political divide to listen to each other's sides and find common ground. In a world full of me, I see a great deal of people serving each other, helping, not because it is good for them, but it's because it is good for the other. As much as I love spending time at St. John's, and I seem to spend a lot of it here, I do take time to volunteer at an elementary school that my kids attended. I helped out during the literacy hour in a fourth grade class. During this time, the kids are learning about different writing styles, such as fiction and nonfiction. Recently, they have been working on summarizing a nonfiction article. The teacher asked the students if one of them would be willing to share the summary with the class. One student took his report and shared it for all to read on the board. He then read it out loud. When he was finished, the teacher asked the rest of the class to provide feedback to him. He received many thoughtful words of encouragement. Even if it was an error that needed improvement, the feedback was kind and non-judgmental. I was invited one afternoon to be part of an outside activity and saw the same encouraging behavior and kindness. Witnessing these interactions gives me hope for a bright future. Yes, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. It is the light of Christ. And through this light, we have received grace upon grace. That is unconditional love that will always keep darkness at bay. For light is to darkness what love is to fear. In the presence of one, the other disappears. Amen.